In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
One of these days I may become more technically advanced so I don't have to carry books around with me. The primary reason I do that is I often want to quote things and I can't remember them. And if I write them out by hand, I can't read it. So this is the deal. So every now and then I carry some books around, so I'll be up here for just a minute. Most of you are aware, and if you're not aware, you're about to be, I'm hard of hearing, which means I wear hearing aids. And I often make the joke that not only am I hard of hearing, but I very rarely listen. But it's not the same thing, right? But the wonderful thing about having more technically advanced hearing aids is they are Bluetooth enabled, which means if you call me on my cell phone, and assuming I'm in a fairly quiet place, I probably am not touching my cell phone. I am talking to you through my hearing aids. If I sit down at my computer and open my computer and I have my cell phone, and if you're on the vestry, you know this well, sometimes my Bluetooth connections can't figure themselves out. And I'm not connecting to anything, and yet I'm connected to everything all at the same time, and I have to start over. So at the last vestry meeting, I had to take my hearing aids out and just turn them off because they weren't connecting properly to all my devices that were open and in front of me. And so sometimes it's a real hassle, to be really honest with you. And it's other times, it's a really wonderful blessing for me. Because when I'm able to use the hearing aids as my listening device through Bluetooth, I can hear everything. And as a result, I often hear things differently than I normally do. So on Friday morning, as I was preparing my sermon, I'd say I stepped away, but I didn't. All I did was pick up my phone and hit a little button on my phone that took me to the Holy Innocents Facebook page so that I could participate in morning prayer, which is something I love doing during the week, and I especially love it on Friday morning when I can be sitting at my house, at my dining room table, working on my sermon, and I can just step away for 15 minutes and pray along with Miss Morgan. So on Friday morning, one of the prayers that she used on page 100 of morning prayer, as I was listening through my phone, through my hearing aids, hearing very, very clearly what was being said, she used this prayer on the bottom of page 100 that I have literally prayed hundreds of times. But for some reason, in the midst of hearing the readings this morning, having read through them all multiple times at that point, and stopping and hearing this prayer, I heard it differently. I don't know if that's ever happened to you. But this is the prayer. O God, you have made of one blood all the peoples of the earth, and sent your blessed Son to preach peace to those who are far off and to those who are near. Grant that people everywhere may seek after you and find you. Bring the nations into your fold. Pour out your Spirit upon all flesh, and hasten the coming of your kingdom through Jesus Christ our Lord. I thought, wow. What an incredible prayer. That could have been written, well, at any time for us in our society, because it unfortunately seems to fit every time in the history of society. Made us all of one blood. We are all one through the blood of Jesus. For one purpose, to live a life as one body with Jesus as the head. And as I read that, you might be thinking, not really sure where you're going with this, but stick with me, I'm going to get there. Where I'm going with this is here. This morning's gospel is very clearly all about forgiveness. It is all about forgiveness. That prayer is a recognition that we, regardless of what we might think of another, by the grace of God and the blood of Jesus, are one. We belong to one another. We are brothers and sisters, siblings in this world of God's creation. And he's calling us to be better at it constantly. And he is saying to us, because of me, you are me. He indwells us, and he calls us to move that same experience of this indwelling Lord that we have out to the world, so the world will know that it was actually planned by God that all people would be joined together in him. Amen? Okay, here it comes, the moment you've been waiting for with the camera. And as I read this morning, or last week in preparation, and as we heard this morning, it's about forgiveness. See, this kingdom that's spoken about in the prayer is available to us now, but it requires us to do something very difficult, doesn't it? It requires us to live a life in relationship to our understanding of what Jesus has done for us, which, by the way, we all know well is forgiveness. People say, well, why did Jesus die on the cross? Well, he died on the cross for my sins. And he's saying to us constantly, share that with others. Very specifically this morning, as Peter came to him and said, Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times? We can do the math if we want. Jesus says to him, not seven times, but I tell you 77 times, or seven times 77, or whichever translation you have. Really immaterial. It's more about the seven being representative of sort of perfection and completeness. And it just means, how often? Every time. How often do I forgive someone who seeks forgiveness? Every time. Period. That's all there is to it. And that's the key. If we're going to fully live into being the people of one blood in Jesus Christ, all linked together to one another through him, there will have to be some very serious forgiveness, won't there? I think the struggle might be is we want other people to be perfected so that they don't mess with what we want to have happening. I don't want them messing around in my world. I don't want them challenging me. I don't want them questioning me. I just want them all to agree with me. And when they don't, there's something wrong with them because they are imperfect. Right? I mean, I often tell my wife, as soon as everybody figures out that this is all about me, things are going to get a lot smoother. Hasn't worked out yet. Yeah, clearly she has to practice a lot of forgiveness. I'm mostly joking when I say that. But you all chuckled because it's a funny joke, but what makes things funny is the element of truth, isn't it? If people would just agree with me, I wouldn't have these feelings about them. Well, guess what? It's not going to happen. See, the perfection will come when Jesus returns. But we have the opportunity through the power of his Spirit which indwells us to strive for that level of perfection, let's call it godliness, now. And one of the key elements of that, if not the key element, once we understand the love of our Lord, our God, with all our heart, all our mind, and all our soul, then we love our neighbor as ourself. The one person I can forgive pretty easy in these days is me. I can screw up and go, well, oh shoot, I really screwed up. And then I do what I need to do if I hurt somebody in the process. And I can pretty much move on from it. Now, if you screw up and step on my toes, that takes a little longer. But that's not loving my neighbor as myself. It's not being Christ-like. How many times? Well, every time. And then we hear this somewhat frightening parable of the unforgiving servant. And Jesus says, "For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wishes to settle accounts with his slaves. And the first slave comes in owing him just what would be equivalent to billions of dollars in our day. He can't repay it. It's just not even possible. I don't know how he got into that much debt, but it's a parable, so we can go with it, right? It is so much money. 10,000 talents, and some scholars would say that one talent was equal to 15 years of wages for the average person in this man's position. So I don't know about you. If that was the case, I couldn't come up with one talent. 15 years of wages. So just purposely an astronomical amount, unobtainable, impossible for this person to repay. And he falls on his knees in front of the king and says, "Have pity on me." And out of pity, the king said, "Okay, I'll let you go." This man has been forgiven a debt that is insurmountable. And then someone who owes him really a pittance in comparison behaves the very same way to him that he behaved to the king, and he grabs him by the throat and has him thrown in jail for owing the debt. Now that's bad enough in itself, isn't it? That's enough for all of us to go, "Wow, that guy's terrible." I mean, that's my first thought. What a jerk. I can't believe, after all he was just given, he had absolutely no mercy for someone who owed him. And in the light of this concept of forgiveness, isn't that exactly what most of us have experienced? I mean, has anyone ever experienced the forgiveness of God in their life? Never? I mean, some of y'all didn't raise your hand, so I'm a little nervous. I know you all at home know that you have received the forgiveness of God. Folks are nervous. They're afraid. You know what's happened. You learn not to raise your hand because then I back you into corners, don't I? Yes, I do it on purpose. But the reality is, I think most of us understand the forgiveness that we've received through God, through the very body and blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. Amen? Yeah, I mean, we know it. I mean, most of us to the level that it has actually completely changed our understanding of God and ourselves, right? It's like, wow, this is so unbelievable to me that God has given me this. And I have yet to meet a single person that said, "Well, finally, God forgave me like I deserved." I've never met that person. Maybe they exist. I have heard a few jokes which I thought were funny. It's like, "Well, you know, Jesus loves you." And they're like, "Yeah, big deal. Jesus loves everybody." But it is kind of a big deal when we add the forgiveness piece. I mean, there are things in my life that I had to lay before God and think, "Well, I'll find out if this God is real, because I'm just going to lay this stuff out here. And I know there is no way I'm going to be forgiven for these things." And you know what? I came away from that moment knowing that I had God's forgiveness through Jesus Christ. And it changed my whole world. And maybe it's happened to you, or maybe it hasn't happened yet. But I will promise you this. If you put it all on the table before God, all of it, not just the stuff you think is okay, but the things in which you're afraid to say, those things you don't want to confess, the things that no one else in the world needs to know, even those things, even if you can justify it and say, "Well, God, of course, forgives, so I know that I'm forgiven, for, you know, I know in my head that I'm forgiven there," but you also know at the same time when you say that in your heart, you've never actually sought it out. You've never done what this servant had done and come before your king and said, please, please, don't forsake me. I will pay you back. Realizing and knowing that full well you could never pay it back. And then having that sense of the very presence of God wash through you and an understanding of peace and comfort and knowing that you're truly, truly forgiven. Not just, it says in the Bible, I am forgiven. I know in my heart that this is true. Strange thing, though. Even when we've had that moment and understood the depth of God's forgiveness in our own lives, someone is going to sin against us. And they may even come to us and say, please forgive me, and we're going to go, I have to think about it. I know it's true. How do I know? Well, because I've done it. And we have to stop and say, well, but is that what we're being told? Is that what Jesus is saying to us today? No, he's saying forgive as you've been forgiven. At whatever depth you know that God has forgiven you, that's how you need to forgive those who have sinned against you and have sought your forgiveness. And you give it just like Jesus did. In what manner? Unconditionally and freely. He never said it was going to be easy. I know we want perfection from others and forgiveness for ourselves. Maybe we could flip that so that we can grow into being the people that God's called us to be in a better way. It still won't be perfection, though, will it? We're still going to mess up. Other people are still going to mess up. And we're going to have to seek forgiveness, and we're going to have to offer forgiveness just as it has been given to us through Jesus Christ. It's simple and at the same time exceptionally complicated. So, whenever I'm facing a big challenge, I find it easier to do whatever the big challenge is if I have a little motivation. Amen? Now you would think just living in the kingdom of God, in this peace and all this wonderful understanding of one another, one blood, one people, one head, Jesus Christ, the kingdom presence, that should be enough motivation, right? But in our daily life, sometimes it's so far away, it's so hard to tell, isn't it? And we just rather go, you know what, I'm just not going to deal with it. And I understand that. It's just too much, right? And sometimes the pain is too much. But the call still doesn't change, regardless of how much pain you're in. And sometimes people will say, well, I just don't believe that Jesus would ask me to suffer like that. And I'm like, what Jesus are you talking about? The Jesus who was nailed to the cross for you and then said, pick up the cross and follow me? Yeah, there's going to be a little pain involved. It's called exercising our spiritual muscle. I don't know about you, but if you've ever exercised a muscle that you haven't exercised in a while, it causes some pain, doesn't it? Yeah. Guess what? Same thing's going to happen, and it'll be okay because it is the ultimate thing that God calls us to. So we have to be willing to sacrifice. We have to be willing to be humble. We have to be willing to forgive. And our motivation could come strictly from understanding that that's what we've received. But some days it just isn't enough. And this could be my good Catholic upbringing. But some days I have to remember what Jesus has to say at the end of the parable. When this slave who was forgiven such a huge debt was unwilling to forgive such a minor debt. And the king says in anger, hands him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart. And I know that's not a popular thing to preach about in this day and age. And I know we're not supposed to be obedient to God out of fear. We are obedient to God out of our love for him. But I also know this as a parent of three adult children and a grandparent of seven. There are times when I show the depth of my love to my children and grandchildren by not giving them exactly what they want. Our grandson Levi wants to climb up on everything, up onto chairs. He's not quite a year and a half. So he will get up on the chair, and then he wants to get up on the table, over the tile floor. He wants to climb up on this chair and climb up onto the island in the kitchen, over the tile floor, 3 feet off the ground. That's what he wants. But boy, he gets really mad when you snatch him up and take him off of there and put him back on the floor. And I just say, well, brother, you just don't understand. I'm trying to help you. When he runs toward the pool and I scoop him up before he runs right into it, I'm not doing that because I'm trying to chastise him. I'm doing that because I'm trying to protect him. And sometimes when I hear the words of Jesus that sound harsh like that, I'd say, this is my heavenly Father saying to me, Brian, there are boundaries, brother. And if you go too far, you will be so far outside the boundaries, you are choosing to be away from me, not with me. And by the way, this is what it looks like when you are not with me. I offer you life and I offer it abundantly. I offer you life and I offer it eternally. I offer you these things freely through the forgiveness of your sins and with the very body and blood of your Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ. I give it to you and you should take it. And by the way, if you don't, there is another option and this is what it looks like. Now, I know I'm not supposed to scare people into the kingdom, so don't be scared. But don't pretend like it doesn't exist either. They're choices, aren't they? And what's it look like in our own lives? We can choose to forgive, and we can choose to be connected to one another, or we can choose to shut people out. And I don't know how that works in your life, but when that happens, that's pain, and it's sorrow, and it is not godly, and it is not kingdom living, amen? And it's the thing that consumes us, isn't it? What do you want to be consumed with? The love of God or the pain of this fallen world? Both can be eternal for you. But make no mistake, your God loves you so much that he's going to let you choose. He's going to let you choose. I will choose to forgive as I've been forgiven. And I had to laugh. I can't use the pencil eraser. It's too small. So in my nightstand where I sit and make my final notes, which are tucked into this Bible, which on occasion I look at and on occasion I follow, but not so much today. And all the notes written in here, sometimes I look at them and go, I have to go to the drawer in my nightstand where I have an eraser that's this big, and I erase, and I start again. So get yourself a big old eraser, just like the one that was used on you, and offer to use it on everyone around you, so that we can hear more clearly this amazing prayer given to us through our tradition and in this prayer book. And we can remember that this prayer carries so much truth. Oh God, you have made of one blood all the peoples of the earth, and you sent your blessed Son to preach peace to those who are far off and to those who are near. Grant that people everywhere may seek after you and find you, Bring the nations into your fold. Pour out your spirit upon all flesh and hasten the coming of your kingdom through Jesus Christ, our Lord. It starts with you and it starts with me. Get your erasers out. Amen.